finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.
Halfway stage of the 2020 IPL, and the points table is starting to take shape. We have Mumbai Indians and Delhi Capitals at the top with 8 points each. And then, of course, it's three teams which are staying put on 6 points together. It's Sunrisers Hyderabad, Kolkata Knight Riders, and, you know, 2020 surprise for Royal Challengers Bangalore. They are in the mix after a long, long time. And then, of course, it's CSK and Rajasthan Royals on 4 points each, and just the 2 points for Kings 11 Punjab. This is an ever-changing points table. Every day something new happens, something that blows our mind away, because this is the 2020 IPL and it has been a cracker of a season. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Hotspot, the cricket podcast. As always, I am your host, sports journalist and broadcaster Chetan Narula, and with me, my friend, all shampooed and everything and good, and of course he's geared up for Australia's domestic season as well. Cricket Buzz's international cricket writer Bharat Sundaresan, there he is making that entry, the black screen, and suddenly he's there in the spotlight. Bharat, good to have you once again.
The halfway stage of the IPL, man, time really moves fast, doesn't it? I mean, we've all been waiting for this 2020 to end, and you think that it will end, but then at times you look out and it's still like, what, 2 months to go? At least the IPL is moving fast, and I will admit, at the outset, our daylight saving just started in Australia. So we are like 5 hours ahead of you, which means I have not been able to catch up on too much of the IPL this week. Because games start at 12:30 and I'm aging. I try to stay awake, Chetan, but I just nod off, man. It's becoming a big problem. There was a time I could stay awake till 5 a.m. easy, go without sleep. But what can I say? But I also want to say, you spoke about how this table is looking one day, like it's everyone seems to be in the mix and all that. But this IPL for me really sums up social media and the world we are in. Because whenever I wake up every morning, somebody seems to have become the star. Like this morning I woke up and people are raving about Nicholas Puran. Two, 3 days back, everybody was raving about Karthik Tyagi. So I guess it sums up the world we are in. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since we've seen a lot of players in action and everything. So I think it sums up, we are being starved of action. We have been starved of superstars on our screen. And, you know, it's a good way. A lot of matches that, you know, we were talking about the last episode, close encounters, a lot of close matches. And what's happened is it's taken the mind off people from the pandemic, from their problems. I mean, everybody's having problems in their lives, whether it's health related or employment related or any issues. Basically, you know, you have a lot of issues when you stay at home 24/7. So in every part of the world, people are having different sort of issues. And, you know, sport in general, I'm not talking about the IPL alone, sport in general has taken your mind off those issues. I mean, the football is there in Europe. We have American sport back in action. We have the Sheffield Shield in Australia, and New Zealand's domestic scene is starting up as well. So, but again, from an Indian context, an Indian point of view, you know, you can't always watch news and TRPs. It's an endless tamasha on the news channels nowadays. So it's good to have the IPL. Let's just say that. Let's just say thank you, IPL, for being there and taking our minds off of this bloody pandemic. And yes, those names that you mentioned, we are going to talk about them. Karthik Tyagi. We should start with him, shouldn't we? Karthik Tyagi, Rajasthan Royals, giving they're known for giving these caps out to youngsters. Yashasvi Jaiswal at the start of the IPL, although a bit unfair on him to drop him after first match. And I'm hoping, we're recording this ahead of the Rajasthan Royals versus Delhi Capitals match. So I'm hoping they don't drop him again after just the one game. Then they had Mahipal Lomror. Last year, they had Riyan Parag, and now they have Karthik Tyagi. And Karthik Tyagi, again, a lot of people talking about his action being similar to Brett Lee, delivery similar to Ishan Sharma. What I'm trying to say here is, he's joining a very, very young group of fast bowlers who are coming up at the top, or, you know, in this IPL, they're making a name for themselves. It's good to see that, because Indian pace bowling has jumped up leaps and bounds over the last few years, and it looks like the future is secure as well.
Well, the future looked secure for fast bowling. It looked secure for a while, like we spoke about, I think, two episodes ago. No, we're no longer surprised when a young Indian fast bowler just bursts onto the scene. And I don't think he made what he got Quinton de Kock out with his pace in the first over. This is something I read about. I haven't seen it as yet. But yeah, I saw already Twitter was going crazy about him. And there were videos of him bowling against Australia from the Under-19 World Cup, where it looked like he was sledged and he came back and got someone out. So, in 2020, I'm sure somewhere down the line, they'll be replaying our episode from this podcast, Chetan, and talk about, you remember when Chetan and Bharat got something right? I'm sure, and everything is recorded now. So it doesn't go away anywhere. Yeah. So, but it's good. I think what also helps is because the IPL is happening at a time when there isn't any other international cricket or anything else. It's like the world's focus is on the IPL, like the cricket world anyway. So you're seeing people from England, whether it's like former cricketers or even cricket journalists. Some have surprised me with their interest in the IPL, especially in England. And whether it's people here in Australia, everybody's tuning in. And for someone like Kartik Tyagi or any youngster, if he does well, it's being seen by everyone in the world. Because if you think back to most IPLs, it happens in April, May, where cricket's already started in England. Yeah. Nobody cares about cricket in Australia. But now it's like cricket is kind of on everyone's lips, and the only cricket they have to watch is the IPL. So it's a great IPL addition to become a star in, to shine in. And we're seeing it with Kartik Tyagi. But I was reading this piece in Crick Buzz by a couple of my colleagues. And this is again, man, this is when I start feeling old. So apparently Kartik Tyagi is a big fan of, correct me if I might get it wrong, PUBG.
It's a video game that's been banned in India now because Chinese connect. A lot of fighting. I played it once. Let me go on record on this podcast. I have played PUBG once. It's great, good action gaming. You get into this scenario where you shoot off people and the boundary is just tightening up. You get resources and everything. I won that game. First game, I won it. Oh. But again, I only played it the one time because, and again, this shows how old we are. It takes a bloody hour to complete. I can't be sitting and playing games for an hour every day, end on end. And that to me, Bharat, signifies our age when you can't play video games for an hour every day. And fantastic game. And I wonder how the youngsters are spending their time now.
Yeah, but so you're saying it has nothing to do with going to a pub or there's nothing to do with pub.
No, it's PUBG. No, it has nothing to do about going. You have resources. I only played it once.
So Kartik Tyagi apparently is very disappointed he can't play PUBG anymore. And I'm disappointed that it has nothing to do with going to the pub. I thought it's a game about, I thought it's like a pub hopping game where you sit at home with a drink, you play the game and you drink while you're hopping from one pub to another online. Okay, so that's why I was wondering why the kids are playing this game.
If the lockdown continues, maybe we would need a game like that where we all sit with drinks and go with pubs and are talking to each other, or it can be called a Zoom meeting with friends. Talking about Kartik Tyagi, we must talk about Rajasthan Royals. They haven't won outside of Sharjah. Yes, we're talking about them right now ahead of the Delhi Capitals match, and their social media administrator, he or she is doing a fine job. They've had this meme. Oh, dekho, hum guess karo, hum kahan pe hain, from the K3G, Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham.
Oh, right,
that's a movie, right? Yeah. So Amitabh Bachchan landing, guess karo, hum kahan pe hain, to Hrithik Roshan, because they are returning to Sharjah. And I wrote it in my article last week for First Post as well, that when their bus goes to the depot, the Sharjah bus depot, they'll be very, very happy. Bharat, any particular reason do you think Rajasthan haven't won outside Sharjah?
As of now, I think it's more just a coincidence, because I think all these teams have power hitters who should be able to succeed. But I think it has a lot to do with Sanju Samson's success. It looks like that team really rides on his back, in the sense when he does well, the team does well. When he doesn't do well, so maybe it's more to do with him not performing the way they would like him to outside Charger. But I just look at it as a coincidence. But yeah, I mean, when you look at Steve Smith, he's not your traditional T20 player. I always look at him and I'm reminded of how Michael Bevan used to play white ball cricket. Like, great, great finisher and all that. But he wasn't a Michael Hussey. Like, he wasn't a power player. Like, he needed the bowler to bowl to him in certain areas at a certain pace for him to manipulate the ball. And which is Steve Smith. So, smaller ground, maybe it helps, like, and the ball coming on a lot more. Maybe there is something to do with that Rajasthan do well, considering Steve Smith and Sanju Samson set the pace. You spoke about Yashasvi Jaiswal. Like, there was a lot of hype about him. But that's the IPL, right? I mean, like, we're just halfway through. Like, 3 weeks from now, maybe he will be the guy we're talking about. Maybe he will get on board to that. He will be coming to Australia. Who knows? So, things can happen very quickly in the IPL. I mean, we'll have to look forward to what they do. And again, next week, we might be speaking about Rajasthan Royals, how they not win in Sharjah and win everywhere else.
So absolutely. Yeah, they're playing a few games in the next few days. You talked about those 2 points. Sanju Samson had those big knocks in his first couple of outings in Sharjah, and then he has just tailed off. And that is the problem with Sanju Samson, doesn't have those consistency displays. And that's why, you know, every time there's a debate on social media, every time he scores runs, why isn't he in the 11? Why isn't he in the Indian 11? That's the reason why he's not in the Indian 11, because can't have 2 innings in the whole IPL season and then say, okay, I've done enough. Doesn't work like that. And fair point about Steve Smith. And this is something that really crops up, because you can't really have an overseas captain in the IPL unless it's somebody like David Warner. Because yesterday he scored, and when I say yesterday, against Kings 11 Punjab, his 50th 50-plus score in the IPL, which is a record. No other player, and not even an Indian player, has that record. And it just goes to show the consistency of somebody like David Warner. Is this a fair point, Bharat? Because somebody like Steve Smith, he's totally different. He is he's totally a different batsman to somebody like Warner. And he's now batting up top in the top three. Yeah. A couple of times he's opened the innings as well. So either you have to be in the Warner mold, decimate the bowling attack. Because an accumulator, and then an accumulator who's also the captain, and if it doesn't fire off, which is not firing off for Steve Smith right now, it brings about question marks for the two franchisees.
Yeah, and we've seen that with Warner's teammate Kane Williamson, like when he was captain in Warner's absence, where though I do believe that Kane Williamson has a bigger range of shots than Steve Smith does for white ball cricket, it's the same. Like, but then you have to look at what does that captain bring in? Like, you know, apart from... and these two are guys who don't bowl anymore. I mean, Williamson and Steve Smith have bowled in their careers, but you don't expect them to bowl and bowl for three, even those crucial couple of overs here or there. So it's always been a tricky one, though, in the IPL. Like, you know, you want a foreign captain, but I guess you have a point there. Maybe going ahead, we will see only... we already have only foreign coaches, but we'll see maybe only Indian batsmen. Yeah, I know Anil Kumble is coaching a team that unfortunately isn't winning too much these days. But you look at the dressing room of most teams, it's filled up with foreigners. But maybe that'll be the trend. Like, you know, where you see only Indian captains, because you're right. I mean, it at least guarantees that one spot, and it allows you to play around with your foreign players. But it's a debate which has existed like from the beginning of the IPL, I guess. And we've actually seen more Indian captains come into place, whether it's KL Rahul now at Punjab or anyone else, really. Shreyas Iyer has been doing a good job in Delhi for a while. So it could be a trend which is changing. And again, with Rajasthan Royals, things will change once Ben Stokes comes in, right? He is an extraordinary cricketer. I've seen him do some amazing things in the last 1 year or so.
We all have.
Yeah. And, and he just seems to be on that... he just seems to be having a dream run as a cricketer, and he's coming back hungry to play some cricket. You know, he's been away for personal reasons. So he just changes any team once he comes in. So it'll be interesting to see, more than Sharjah or where they're playing, what happens to the team once Ben Stokes is playing regularly.
Interesting point there. And again, I just want to add, and yes, Ben Stokes will be there. So Tom Curran will probably have the rest of the season off. And it'll be interesting. Do they hand the captaincy to Ben Stokes? Do they carry on with Steve Smith? Because it's, again, a very, very dicey situation. Last week, again, we're going back to the Rajasthan Royals administrator on social media. He or she were shouting from the rooftops, who's the only unbeaten team in the IPL? Who's the only unbeaten team in the IPL? 1 week it takes, or maybe 10 days. And since then, since that tweet, they haven't won a game. They haven't won a game since that tweet. They had 4 points. They were at the top of the table and they still have 4 points. And now they are in the seventh spot. And why this is important is because it feels like this is going to be a season which is going to be very close. There's so many ups and downs. But the core topic or the core theme of today's episode is something that I really want to discuss is consistency. You have teams like Mumbai Indians. Of course, this is a very weird season because first of all, we are playing in what, September, October, November. People have been saying that this is the ideal window for the IPL. I don't really agree. But again, the basic point is the batsmen or the bowlers or the cricketers in general, all of them, they've had so much time off that, you know, they were coming back in, they were rusty. So the first couple of weeks or the first 10 or 12 days, we saw that rustiness going in. But then that consistency factor has started kicking in. You look at somebody like Mumbai Indians, they have such a fantastic core of players. Now they are on a roll. They lost a couple of games here and there, but now they are on a roll. They have 8 points. And of course, one of the games that they lost was a super over. You have to remember that. They almost chased 200. Delhi Capitals, another good example, because they have this core of their batting. They have some experimentation because of injuries or conditions or situations in their bowling attack. But their batting lineup, number six, number seven, till number six, seven, it stays the same. So again, consistency, again, 8 points. The biggest factor here, Royal Challengers Bangalore, they're not making changes here, there, everywhere. Virat Kohli played the same team for 3 matches, then made a couple of changes, again played the same team for 2 matches, then made a change. So he's not making a lot of changes this time. He has also decided on his core of his playing 11. You look at Sunrisers Hyderabad, they realized that, yes, they needed Bairstow and Warner and then Williamson. Yeah. And then Rashid Khan. They've used that formula and they're sprinkling those Indian youngsters around it. So they are doing well. KKR, again, they have realized that their top three are set. Their bowling formula is set with Narayan and Cummins and the Indians around them. And then the rest of the batsmen they use as floaters. So what we're looking at, Bharat, is that consistency in team selection, consistency in backing your players and stability, which you've had for the last 2-3 years, is paying off big time. Because you look at teams like Rajasthan who are chopping and changing. It's good that they're giving so many caps out to so many players, but it disturbs the team balance. You look at Kings 11 Punjab, changes and changes and changes and changes every match, and it's hurting them. And CSK, again, they are a team which had the biggest example. They are a team which had so much consistency, but because of their various issues, they've had to chop and change, and it's not working for them.
Yeah, I mean, you've summed it up perfectly. And if anything, I think this IPL league itself kind of represents international cricket. Like, you know, you always have teams which you'll find are consistent because their core is at the peak of their powers. And then there'll be a team which is aging, but they're not sure whether to, like, you know, just bring in a lot of youth. Or they're trying to find that balance. And then there'll be other teams who are rebuilding. And then there'll also be teams which are just not getting the balance right. And, like, you know, like you said, Mumbai Indians, you look at that team up and down the order, it has to be one of the strongest T20 teams in the history of T20 cricket. They have everything. I mean, just the way they attack with the ball and the bat. Like, you know, you have Bolt Pattinson, who's been a revelation for, and he's getting, like, really good big bash deals because of what he's doing in the Mumbai Indians. Like another Australian who's come to India and made it big. Like,
made, you know, it big, yeah.
It's not only Indians who come to Australia and try to make it big, like some are attempting to do, some on this podcast, but it's generally the other way around, which has worked. Like, look at Shane Watson. We will have to talk about Shane Watson. But and then at the top of the order, like whether it's Rohit or Quinton de Kock or Surya Kumar Yadav. I mean, they're and that strong middle order with Hardik Pandya, Krunal Pandya, and Karan Pollard, they're all at, like, you know, firing at the peak of their powers. So they just need a couple of youngsters here and there, and they're done. Chennai Super Kings, I guess, they were just, like, they were as consistent as Mumbai are now, maybe 5 years ago. Because they're, like, you know, the Kedar Jadhavs and co were at the peak of their powers at that point. And I think also what happens is, I was thinking about it the other day when Chennai Super Kings lost, is in a league like the IPL, you need a couple of, like, players who will come and surprise the opposition. Because if you have, it's one thing to go in with the same team, the same strategy over and over again when you're winning. But if you're not winning consistently, and if you don't have the surprise factor, you'll get found out. Like, and the Kedar Jadhav is done wonders for India and CSK with white ball cricket. Even though he has a strike rate below 100, I saw the other day in IPL history for CSK. But you get found out, and that we're seeing that a lot. And Kings 11 Punjab have historically been a team who have never really been sure about what they want. And and the best example of that is whenever they show the dressing room, there's Chris Gayle sitting with a towel, which I don't get that logic. Like, I mean, why would you pick someone who's 41 and not play him? Like, you know what I mean? You pick someone like that only if you want to play him. Or if you have some grand plans of only playing him once you reach the knockout stage, I have no idea. It's you can see that it's a team which is confused at most times. And Rajasthan Royals has always been like the classic, I have always called them the gully cricket team who play in the IPL in a good way. Because I'm sure when you played gully cricket, Chetan, there were always these smart, like, you know, these very street smart kids, guys who captain teams, who would get all the lalupanjus and, like, you know, always win somehow.
They find a win. Yeah.
Not saying that there are lalupanjus playing for Rajasthan, but just these young kids who just come and become stars, like Rahul Tewatia, for example.
Yeah, good point there. And, you know, in terms of Kings 11 Punjab, absolutely good point in terms of what Chris Gayle is doing there, just sitting with a towel and getting paid to sit with a towel. I mean, that's another level of cool that he's unlocked there, that, you know, at 41, he's there getting paid to sit with a towel. Apparently, he was supposed to play in the previous game against SRH, but he had a stomach upset. So, wait. So, you're saying that in the first five games, and Anil Kumble came out with this explanation, and I was like, so in the first five games, you haven't played him. You wanted to play him in the sixth game, and suddenly he developed a stomach upset. So something is not right over there, because you know, you have somebody like KL Rahul who can keep wickets. He's not keeping wickets. Nicholas Puran wanted to keep wickets. He's not keeping wickets anymore. They got a third choice wicketkeeper batsman who's very few people have heard about. And now he's keeping wickets and batting in the Punjab 11. Right. So something is not right there. And I was asking this question on Twitter last night that, you know, if this was a normal year, and first of all, I want to cry by saying normal year. but if it was a normal year and we had the IPL normally and then we had the T20 World Cup, would KL Rahul give up his gloves? No, not at all. Because that is a role that he's doing for India. There's still a lot of time for the next international event. So he can take his time. Now, coming back to the Kedar Jadhav question, that's brilliant. Brilliant. Because again, he would not find a slot in that 11 if Suresh Raina was there. He won't. And I think his time may have also run out, because they might say, okay, you know what? He's not bowling. His fielding is atrocious. I don't want to be unfair on anybody, any cricketer. We're not cricketers. We're just, you know, passing comments. But again, he's a professional cricketer. His fielding is atrocious. It's always been atrocious. He may pull off some moment which would be good. Not exceptional, good. But his fielding has always been atrocious. So what is he bringing to the playing 11? And somebody like Ruturaj Gaikwad, they might... Yes, he's not done too much in the first two or three outings that he's had. But maybe they might revisit that. But one player that you mentioned... You didn't mention, but you did say that, you know, you need the shock and awe value. Sam Curran, a lot of English journalists also staying up and, you know, taking interest in IPL. They would be very, very happy to see the way Sam Curran is performing. To me, he has been the MVP for CSK. Yeah. When you have people like Shane Watson struggling to find their form, Faf du Plessis, he's been consistent, but he can't win you matches on his own. Faf is a fabulous player, but he's never going to be that alpha male that is going to win you matches on his own. He's always in that support role. Somebody like a Sam Curran, he bats, he bowls, he feels well. He's in the game. He's always in the game. And I think you just realize that because CSK want to play Imran Tahir. Maybe they want to play Josh Hazlewood. But the kind of form he is in and the kind of contribution he's making, it's impossible to leave out Sam Curran at the moment.
Yeah, and like he's just says something about Sam Curran, right? He's doesn't take five wicket hauls. He doesn't make hundreds. But England never lose when he plays. They've actually never lost a test match when he's played.
Yeah.
And there's just some... I actually saw Chennai Super Kings bowling performance the other day. I was very impressed with my old friend Karan Sharma, who bowled really, really well in that game. But I also tweeted about how... Like, you know, Dhoni, you know, with Dhoni, like, you know, when he starts putting his arm around cricketers, this is something I've noticed over the years.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, there is a slight lack of trust there. It's almost like he turns into a tuition teacher almost, like, you know, where he needs to do that one extra test for him to like do what Dhoni wants him to do. But with Sam Curran, it's like he leaves him alone. It's like he knows what Sam Curran wants to do and he knows he can execute it. And that confidence and trust, and also the way that he doesn't celebrate too much when Sam Curran takes a wicket. You like, even in that last game that they lost, you see each time Shardul Thakur took a wicket, there was almost a bit of like, you know, Dhoni.
We didn't expect that you have taken a wicket.
Sam Curran, Oh, I wouldn't go down that line, but almost, So he said it, Shardul, not me. But but then with Sam Curran, it almost seems so matter of factly. Just
this is the point I was trying to make. That okay, not about Shardul, but Sam Curran. That okay, we expect you to take a wicket. Let's just put it like that. Okay,
that's a better way to put it. No, but yeah, and every time he's come out to bat, he's like, what, he hits that 1/6 or so, and he keeps Chennai Super Kings in the game. And Chennai Super Kings, like, I mean, that's the thing, right? When they play, when they don't play, they're always creating some sort of controversy or some sort of, like, you know, talking points, feathers. It's to do with them not looking like they want to chase down a total. And I read about all that on Twitter. So this has been the IPL for Twitter. I mean, Twitter's generally lights up always during the IPL. But this, like you spoke about, even franchises... Because the social media teams have become so important during this IPL because there's no journalist there. The coverage, in a way, depends on what they give out. So it's also been an interesting IPL from that angle. But yeah, I mean, speak of Chennai Super Kings and talking points, I'm sure you would want, we'll have to talk about our old friend R. Ashwin. And like, he lights up Twitter more than anyone else. Like, he is...
Absolutely,
in the last
yeah.
6 months, he's got social media absolutely right. Like, he just cracked the code. Like,
he is single-handedly putting out people like us out of a job because, and he's a friend of, and he's a friend, Ashwin is a friend of both of us. And, you know, we know him well. We've seen him on the, he's seen us, not instead of us seeing him. He's seen us covering games. He's seen us traveling with the team. He is single-handedly putting people like us out of a job because A, he brought out some brilliant content during the lockdown and he has that access that a lot of us don't have on a daily basis, on a daily basis or on a weekly basis. Yes, one off we can bring cricketers and, you know, do some special shows or everything, but he has that access on a daily basis, and he used it to good purpose. He brought us good content during the lockdown. Now he's continuing to entertain us. There's always, I mean, obviously, he's been entertaining us since last year with that run out of Josh Butler. And now he's giving online warnings to all the batsmen. I think that's what you were alluding to. And he's pushing Ricky Ponting to make changes, make requests of the MCC. And I don't know what's going to happen there because, I mean, this gentlemanly code and spirit of cricket conduct, it's a buhaki for me. But talking about Ashwin, do you think he should have man-carded or... run out Aaron Finch?
See, but that's the thing, right? Before we go ahead, I don't think Ashwin thinks I'm his friend. I don't think any cricketer thinks I'm his friend. You are my friend, Chetan. We'll stick to that. Like, friendship with cricketers, I am very, very...
Okay, no, we know him. And we know him and he knows us.
I know. I'm just kidding. But see, that's where Ashwin is smart. Do you think he's made more news by not running out Aaron Finch there than he would have if he had done it? Like, this is, and I'm a huge pro wrestling fan, you know that. I look at life through pro wrestling lens. what is the better story? The better story is the fact that he didn't run him out. Because if he had run him out, it's like, yeah, that's what you expect from him. And oh, Ponting said this, but he didn't. Now you don't know why he didn't do it. Right? He's talking about it's a warning. Maybe it was in my book, and this is completely my personal opinion. It's not like I know Ashwin that well that he's told me about it. But this was almost a statement to Ponting. It was almost like, okay, you want me to show you respect by not doing it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do it once, and I'm going to do it on a public space, and I'm going to do it to an Australian. So
exactly, right?
Yeah, he's followed Ashwin's career for so long. Yeah.
He's done it to an Australian, and he's tagged them. He's tagged them. He's made it very clear that Aaron Finch is my friend. But the other point here is he losing face in this? Okay, not losing face in the sense.
Yeah.
The question to ask here is simply this: should he have done it because of what he did last year? Because he did it with Josh Butler. He should have done it with Aaron Finch. Because you cannot. Now the question is, does he go out sending warnings every time he needs to run out a non-striker? He can go on Twitter and say, oh, you know, this is my final warning. But the big issue during the lockdown that Ashwin raised on Twitter was that there is so much stigma attached to it. And then for me, I wanted to quote tweet his tweet. And, you know, I'll probably take out this. And I wanted to quote tweet Ashwin and say, okay, you know what? Your run out of Josh Butler last year was warning enough. It was warning enough. You don't need to send out warnings again and again. So what you're saying is absolutely brilliant, that he sent a message to Ricky Ponting. He's done it to an Australian. He sent out a warning to every batsman as well. But he's also raised this question mark about stigma, because there's so much of it attached to, you know, spirit of cricket. I mean, there's this whole documentary where Josh Butler is about Rajasthan Royals, where Josh Butler is saying, oh, you know, he ran us out and, you know, it's not spirit of cricket. And, you know, a lot of friends in English media for both of us. And it's a huge hue and cry in the English media. It was when Josh Butler was run out that way. But again, is it spirit of cricket for a non-striker to take that big a stride when going for a run? I mean, that's not part of spirit of cricket as well. If you're talking spirit of cricket, you have to talk it from both ends. So for me, it's the talking point or the conversation keeps on going. But my issue with this was, do you need to send out a warning now every time you do it?
No, I don't think what he's done is, like you said, warning enough. And speaking of spirit of cricket and all that, it's just like, what surprises me is how far out of his crease Aaron Finch was. Like, when you speak about T20 cricket being all about matchups and like everybody studying what the bowler does, what the batsman does. And if you are at the non-strikers, and I know it's heat of the moment, you're thinking about getting on to strike and all that. But when you know a bowler, like, you know, it's almost like when you know someone's going to bowl you a Yorker, just you're preparing for it. So when you're at the non-striker's end and the bowler is someone who's done it before, who's like mankarded it, and that's also a big issue. People don't want to call it mankard. People are just like too wired, man, these days. They just want to argue about everything.
And my question is here, what was going through Aaron Finch's mind? Because he's what, this much? I mean, my hands are not even fitting into the screen. He was that much further away from the crease, or as Neil Gavaskar says, not even in the frame, not dragging his bat or anything. What was going through his mind? I mean, what? I got a warning? Yeah. Why?
No, forget about spirit of cricket. That's just like silly. I mean, that's bad cricket. Like, you know, more than silly. So you're actually risking your own wicket by not bothering about who's bowling. And about, like, you know, not, you shouldn't be leaving your crease, but like batsmen have been doing it historically for years. And when the law says, I mean, you have to pick law or spirit, but that's my problem with cricket. People like always, like, you know, are like, they'll keep shifting between law and spirit. So as someone who's now an umpire and like, you know, who's been like passing umpiring exams and umpire games, you actually have to follow. I believe that the law is final. Like, you know, spirit and all is fine, but the law is final. It's like, you know, the analogies others have also used. It's like jaywalking, right? At the pedestrian crossing, if it's red, it's the law. I will stop. Or like, even when you're in a car, it's a law. So the law always trumps spirit. I don't get this whole logic. And in fact, that's the thing, right? Here, during the last umpiring seminar. So for this season, we were all the umpires were told, if a kid, like, you know, if there's an appeal, and even for fun, he does this, signals DRS, we can, like, you know, suspend him, or like at least like punish him, like, for doing that, because that's against the law, that's against the, like, everything, right? So that's the law trumps, man. And eventually, like, you know, you get punished, like, when you do something wrong. Like, Aaron Finch should have been punished, but like I said, Ashwin's too smart, he's like playing the game now.
Yeah, absolutely playing the game. And again, one last take on this, that, you know, it goes back to Ricky Ponting, and I'm not alluding to what happened in 2008 with that Sydney test or anything. My only issue is this here, that he's going to the MCC and he's going there on behalf of Ashwin and saying, okay, you know, the batsman should be penalized, this, that, whatever. Are the MCC going to make a written rule change to the laws for this? Because unless and until that happens, the unspoken spirit of the game is always going to throw a spanner in the works. And, you know, again, the point is there. There's just so much stigma. Okay, this guy does the Mankad, or this guy runs out non-strikers. It's against the spirit of the game. No, because the bowler there is following the spirit of the law. And as it is, this game is, yeah.
For that point, right, it's like going to a press box in shorts and slippers, right? I mean, there is, I'm just,
you would know, yeah, right?
I mean, wherever, like, you know, there are venues in Australia where you have to wear a shirt and you have to wear closed shoes. If you don't do that, you don't get food. So in those places, I'll wear a shoe, I'll put some shirt on. Like, it's simple, I'm following the law. But there are people who have come up to me and said, yeah, that no, this is against culture and against, like, yeah, but the law triumphs for me always, Chetan. So, like, I would munkard anyone. Like,
yeah. You're an umpire who munkards, right? You're an umpire who munkards. So moving on quickly there, and
I am an umpire who
munkards. Like, yeah. you'll be like, the bowler will be like bowling and the batsman will be out of the crease and you'll take, hey, give me the ball, I'll munkard the non-striker myself.
See, there are umpires who, like, always tell bowlers that, like, you know, you're getting too close to the popping crease, like, you know, be careful, or I'll have to signal no ball. I'll be the one who'll tell the bowler the batsman leaving his crease, so keep an eye on him.
Okay, moving quickly on. A couple of players that we need to talk about here, two of them, and one of them, we've had a very nice conversation in New Zealand, Shreyas Iyer. I made some predictions about him, you must remember. Yes. Future Indian captain, he's already a star right now, but he is the one to, you know, you're looking at someone like Rishabh Pant or Prithvi Shaw and others. No, nothing against them. But personally, I feel that Shreyas Iyer is the next big thing of Indian cricket once, you know, Virat Kohli's and Rohit Sharma's are gone. It's going to be all about Shreyas Iyer. Why? And for me, it's not just about the fact that he's going through this training period with Delhi Capitals and, you know, he will be Indian captain someday. No, not just that, because he is showing that trait. He's showing that hunger. He's showing that desire. More than that, the fitness, that attitude, that persona he's carrying, that yes, he's out there on the field, he wants to win. No nonsense approach. It is something that I see in Virat Kohli. And that hunger and drive. I mean, we're living in a very, very different era. We're living in a very different era of Indian cricket. You know, the golden age is gone, where, yes, maybe Tendulkar, Dravid, Ganguly, all of them also had those qualities, but it was not in your face. Maybe not Ganguly, maybe the rest. But today, it's all about being in your face. Today, it's all about exuding that attitude, exuding that persona. And to me, Shreyas Iyer absolutely fits that bill.
Yeah, and like, there's one thing you didn't mention there is his calmness. Like, you know, for someone like with that attitude, like you said,
that's different. That's different.
Yeah, I mean, that's different to Virat Kohli there. Like, but that's just who he is. Like, you know, having seen him play cricket when he was younger in Bombay as well, that's just his personality. And I remember Sriram Veera, my ex-colleague, and I going and visiting his parents, and we did a story on him maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. And I think it starts at home. His parents are also very relaxed and just like very cool and chill people. And also, I think it's a great story also because the IPL and Indian cricket always throws up a lot of rags to riches stories, which are great. Like, you know, it really sums up India, which is like, comes with a lot of drama. But here is a middle-class boy who had everything going for him. Yeah. For him. Yeah. Like, you know, it's not like he had to really struggle to like to achieve anything.
He has the talent. Yeah, he has the talent.
He has the talent, and like his, like, you know, his home was taken care of. Like, you know, he didn't have, he wasn't, how do I put it? Like, he wasn't denied anything. Like, you know,
it was not a rags to riches story. You know,
not at all. And like, you know, for, and I remember the most interesting part about his teenage years was like when he went through a rough patch and he was really down in life, his father actually took him to a psychologist, like a sports psychologist, which many parents in India will not, can never afford to do, and maybe even those who can afford to do it might not be aware. Which is a great thing to happen for someone so young, and it has really, really helped him. He speaks about it a lot, and what's happened to his career since. And he's been in and out. Maybe he should have played more for India. And the way he attacked Nathan Lyon in 2017, like during that warm-up game at CCI, we all thought this is it. Like, you know, this is the making of Shreyas Iyer. But but he's not really reached that level, or he hadn't till last year. But what we saw in New Zealand, again, just the calmness, the way he goes about finishing off innings, it's just coming through. Like, and it, like, you know, he is a classy batsman. It never looks like he's hitting the ball too hard. Like, there's a bit of, so it's almost like there's a bit of Rohit in there, there's a bit of Virat Kohli in there.
Absolutely, so, and you talked, and you know what, you, interestingly for our listeners and viewers, you talked about where the calmness comes from, his really nice solidified roots, background, his home, everything calm and everything. Where does his attitude come from? And I'll tell you the story. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when it was only his second year with Delhi Capitals, I'd gone to interview him during the IPL, and I just asked him, you know, who do you idolize? Well, not anybody in cricket per se, but I have idols in football. I was like, okay. Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I mean, if you have to exude attitude and confidence on the field as an athlete, I don't think there's any other better idol to look for than somebody like Zlatan. I mean, that's it. Shreyas Iyer has done it. And what you said, absolutely a good point. Mixture of Virat and Rohit. And, you know, both of us agree on this. And we've agreed on this many times now that he is definitely the next big thing of Indian cricket. The good part is that he's having a good run with Delhi Capitals now. Last year also, they went to the knockouts. This year, in the preview season, preview episode of this podcast, the IPL preview with Akash Chopra and Deep Das Gupta, Akash Chopra underlined it, Delhi Capitals to win. At this point in time, it looks like Mumbai Indians and Delhi Capitals with the shout.
Yeah, I mean, it eventually might come down to Mumbai versus Delhi and UAE. But, like, you know, crazier things happen in the IPL. It's very, very early to talk about who will play in the final. And it also is like an interesting format as well, right? There are some teams, the top two teams will get two shots at reaching the final, whereas three and four won't. So it depends a lot on maybe the last week. Like, you know, if you slip out of the top two, and you have a bad day, it's all over, which has happened to teams before. So I guess it might be slightly premature getting into that, but we should also mention the other Mumbai batsman who's been doing really, really well, who's also has a lot of attitude, is Surya Kumar Yadav.
Surya Kumar Yadav.
Different kind of batsman. And again, someone who five or six years ago looked like he was just on the cusp of making it to the big league, and then he seemed to lose everything.
But, then he lost it.
Yes. Yeah, but he's coming back. He's been consistent for Mumbai in the last 2-3 years.
In fact, his move from, and we need to mention this, his move from Kolkata to Mumbai Indians was actually very fruitful. He was, what, the top run getter for Mumbai in 2018 when they did not win the IPL. And the thing is, he's moved up the order, something that he did not do at KKR, where he was seen as a floater, also in the middle order. You know, there are floaters who go up to the top, and then there are floaters who will stay in the middle order, 4, 5, 6, 7, anywhere you can bat. But with Sky, now it is that he's batting consistently. He's been given a spot in that Mumbai lineup. Number three, this is where you're going to bat. What's that done is, A, it's allowed Rohit Sharma to bat up top. It's allowed them to open the innings, and B, it has given a bit more freedom to the likes of Pollard and Hardik Pandya, because they have been given this role of go out and hit. So again, in that last game, when we saw him get those 80 odd runs, even in the middle part, when Rohit had been dismissed and Quinton de Kock had been dismissed, and he was there at one end and he was going good, you had Ishan Kishan coming in and trying to hit from the first ball, because he had been given that license horrendous shot from Ishan Kishan. Probably he'll learn from that. But again, he was given the license to go after the bowling. And when he fell, they sent up Krunal Pandya because a lot of overs were remaining. They did not want that pressure on Sky to go after the bowling. They want him, when he's in, they want him to bat a long number of overs. Akash Chopra also mentioned Sky for the Indian team. Surya Kumar Yadav for the Indian team. It's very interesting, and I want to get your thoughts there, because now we're looking at a second wicketkeeper batsman for the Indian squad, and we're also looking at a finisher. There is no more Dhoni. He, as it is, was not finishing too many games, if you listen to people on Twitter. But again, there's no more Dhoni, so you need that finisher there. Manish Pandey is there. He's being used in that role pre-IPL or pre-lockdown. Manish Pandey, you never get that feeling that the team management has that much confidence in him. He's not had that long rope. Is this the making of Surya Kumar Yadav for the Indian team?
Yeah, but with Surya Kumar Yadav, the only thing is we've had false alarms before. Hopefully, this is not that false alarm where we've, like I said, even 5 years ago, it looked like we were seeing the rise because he was scoring runs across all formats. Like Shreyas Iyer started doing 2 years after that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he's been through everything, right? He's seen the ups and downs, played a lot of first-class cricket, played a lot of domestic cricket, and now played a lot of IPL cricket. So he didn't get pushed in like maybe a Shreyas Iyer did. I don't think he's played as much India A cricket as many others of his era. So the time has always been right for Surya Kumar Yadav, or Sky as you call him. But it's totally up to him. If he can do this more consistently, and it helps, playing for a successful team. So if, say, Mumbai go on and maybe win the IPL or are around during that last week, that'll help. Because if for all the consistent performance you put in now, it always helps when you pull off something in that last week. So, it's showing. When you play for a settled team and you have the talent, you just have the confidence because you know exactly what role you're playing, rather than look at some of the teams which are struggling, where everybody's going up and down the order, you don't know who you're going to play with. So having a fixed formula maybe helps for someone like Surya Kumar Yadav, but where he will fit into that Indian batting lineup will be the big challenge, because it's so stocked at the top, is where you find a place for him. And also because he doesn't bowl, that's the only thing with Surya Kumar Yadav. But purely as a batsman, maybe you should have played for India 3 or 4 years ago. It's because there are some guys who might not be as consistent as you want them to be at domestic level, but always look like they are ready for the big league. I remember him doing that even for KKR a couple of times back in the day. When he would come in and play some audacious shots and pull off games. So yeah, I would always bank someone like Surya Kumar Yadav because he's got that fearless streak to him. And pretty much every shot in the book.
Yeah, and that's why I mentioned, because of the question that you asked, where you're going to fit him, that is why I mentioned Manish Pandey in the same breath as Sky, because that is the only spot where I see him fitting in, that number five, number six spot where you need to finish off games. You have somebody like a Rishabh Pant, Sanju Samson, a lot of names in there who are probably competing for that one spot, because you're looking at somebody like Hardik Pandya coming in and taking the number six spot. At number seven, you might want another all-rounder, if not Ravindra Jadeja, probably Ravindra Jadeja, but if not him, somebody, an all-rounder in that mold. Krunal Pandya is there as well. And then 8, 9, 10, 11 has to be your four bowlers. You wouldn't want maybe one more all-rounder in there. There's Washington Sundar, Shivam Dubey. They're being nurtured in that particular manner by the team management. So you never know. It's a long way off. We'll probably have another IPL after this before we can, really jot down what the Indian T20 World Cup 11 will look like. But since this is, it's just the third week in review, but like we said, the table is a bit of taking shape. So I thought from this week onwards, we'll give four teams which look most likely, or not four teams. Let's make it interesting. Let's talk about the two teams that will definitely not make it to the knockouts.
No. Okay.
So every week we are going to give two teams and see, okay, what have they done over the last week? Let's make it interesting. Which are your two teams in week three review? Which are your two teams from today? It could be wrong. It could be wrong. But which are the two teams you don't think will make the knockouts?
I'll start with Chennai because it just feels like the thing with that team was they would always, even though they would struggle at times, they would always find the way of just pulling off those random games which nobody would expect them to win, which they're not doing this season. And like what, we're six games in, they've lost four. So I just have a feeling that like, yeah, but, and you know, the way it's been for them, they had the virus issues, Raina going back, Harbhajan not going to UAE. It's definitely affected the balance of that. But I'm going to pick Rajasthan Royals. I'm going to back Kings 11 Punjab to somehow. Now that I've spoken so much about Chris Gayle in a towel, he is that kind of a guy. He'll come and have like what he might make like a couple of hundreds or something, and Kings 11 come through because Pooran started striking. He was supposed to be the big star of breakout star from this IPL, which seems to have started to happen. So for me, Rajasthan Royals, despite Ben Stokes coming in, might just miss out, but Chennai might just keep slipping further and further down.
Okay, well, my call would be CSK to make the knockouts. I think they're just, this is going to be a season where you do just enough. And I think because it's so close, six matches in, it's still very close. The points difference between Mumbai Indians and CSK, number one and number six, is just 4 points. Just 4 points. Yeah. It seems just 4 points. It's probably big, but we are six games in the tournament, you know, six games done. And it's just 4 points. 4 points is nothing really to turn the tide around. And since CSK are still, CSK are still looking for their best 11 or their best, best balance, to be honest, in terms of bat and ball. So again, if they start just on a bit of a run, they could, I'm not saying that they will get those 16, 18 points that they usually get to get into it. I think they will need 12 or 14 points this time around. So maybe give them another couple of weeks before I rule them out. So at this point in time, I don't see Kings 11 Punjab doing anything. I think their season is already bust. You can bring in Chris Gayle. I'm not sure it's going to change much because they're just chopping and changing too much. I think Ben Stokes coming in will help Rajasthan a lot. You know, the one team, and it's a very surprising call for because it's just the week three. The one team that I see falling out is Sunrisers Hyderabad. For some reason, I just don't think they will be doing enough towards the end, you know, the business end of the season. I just somehow see them tapering off and falling out of knockouts over the next couple of weeks and maybe struggle to play catch up after that as well. That brings us to the end of another good episode. Always good chatting with Bharat Sundaresan. Thanks, Bharat, as always, for joining us. And hopefully you can watch a few more highlights and join us again next week.
Oh, for sure. My focus shifts to red ball cricket now, Chetan. You know, I'm a traditionalist. So I will sleep early tonight, go and watch some Sheffield Shield action from tomorrow. Like, you know, get into the whole long format game. That's what gets me going most times. So
red ball season
gets me into bed on time. Yeah.
Yeah, red ball season following up immediately after the IPL. Do share this episode on social media. As always, leave your feedback. We'll always be happy to hear from you. This episode is available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, JioSaavn, all the major audio channels, and also on YouTube. Until next week then, stay safe and goodbye.
Dhoni finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.